But, you know, speaking of offensive humor and offensive statements, Kyle, you got in some hot water recently. I'll throw this up on screen because this post obviously went mega viral. Fake grieving widow grifter costume, Spirit Halloween. This was a banger meme, obviously. You know, Erica Kirk has not been acting like someone who's actually in the middle of grieving. She literally quite the opposite, strutting out on stage now multiple times to pyrotechnics. I don't know if you saw it, but she did it again, even after getting criticized over and over again by people like yourself going viral for this display of indecency. She did it a fucking again at Fox News the other night during their stupid Patriot Awards. She walks out to pyrotechnics with even more ridiculous clownish looking makeup on. So this was a great meme. Most people on the left, you know, didn't think much of it other than to chuckle and move on. But a lot of people did get super fucking triggered, including snowflakes like Matt Taibbi. I thought the Matt Taibbi comment, dude, seriously, was absolutely unhinged and crazy, because Matt Taibbi famously got criticized for joking about having sex with underage Russian prostitutes in his book. Like, this is something he literally got almost canceled for joking about. Quite a bit more offensive than this run-of-the-mill fucking meme that you posted, yet here he is coming out willing to fucking woke scold you like the most triggered snowflake under the sun. So again, Matt Walsh, you know, I expect it. Some of these other idiots, I expect it. It still blows my mind to see someone like Matt Taibbi, who was pretending to be fucking Hunter S. Thompson 10 years ago, out here woke scolding about offensive jokes on Twitter. So what's your response, Kyle, to all of this snowflake behavior from people on the right, hacks like Matt Taibbi? Because obviously it's all phony. It's all phony. As I said, their own side is responsible for 100 times the offensive content and commentary.
I would say old school Matt Taibbi would write a 3,000 word essay about how I'm being smeared by a cancel culture mob. That's what he would do. He would write a piece about all the hypocrisy on the right, that the same people who claimed all they care about is free speech, and they claim to support edgy and offensive humor, you know, by definition, that all of those people immediately flipped as soon as the targets are not trans people or black people or immigrants. All of a sudden, it's unacceptable. When meanwhile, by the way, the reason why they're actually pissed off, and everybody knows this deep down, is because it actually isn't just lefties who are thinking this. There's a lot of people on the right who are thinking this too. It is undeniable that she is acting weird as fuck. It is a fact to point that out. Why is she running her hands through J.D. Vance's hair? Why does he have his hands on her hips? Why was she wearing leather clubbing pants? Why did she say that J.D. reminds her of Charlie? That's a weird thing to say immediately after your husband dies. Why did J.D. Vance say publicly he wants his wife to convert? That's insane to throw your wife under the bus like that. Why was her head on Jesse Waters' chest? There was another picture that was sort of creepy, if you guys saw that one. Why was she immediately fundraising off of Charlie Kirk's murder? That was gross. Could you imagine Crystal trying to fundraise off of my murder within the first...
couldn't even do that to each other. Like, could you imagine Gavin gets killed and I'm out here being like, hey guys, fucking send a super chat.
Insane. Why did she post creepy videos on social media of her holding her dead husband's hand in a casket, getting clout off of his demise? Again, could you imagine Crystal? I get shot and killed, and Crystal's posting videos on Twitter showing my fucking dead hand, and she's holding it? Like, are you kidding me? This is really, really gross. This is like inhuman type shit that we're looking at. And then to your point, all the pyrotechnics that were there looked like it was a fucking WWE event. Why did she immediately take Charlie's position at TPUSA? I don't know about you guys, but if something like that happened, I'd have to get away for a little bit and fucking clear my mind and not be anywhere around anybody else. But meanwhile, she's jumping like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll fucking take his spot at TPUSA. That is crazy to me. It is crazy. So the reason why that hit a nerve is because everybody fucking knows it. And I'm tired of these pearl-clutching, snowflake-ass bitches who say, you're not allowed to ask questions that seem rude, that hurt my feelings. They want her to be off the table. They want her to be, you're not allowed to talk about her. You're not allowed to criticize her. And this is exactly what they try to do with Charlie and his legacy, too. They try to say, since he's now dead, you can never disagree with anything he's ever said, ever. You can't quote him ever. You can't, like, actually go through his record and go point for point and say, here's why this is wrong. You're not allowed to do that because then, they say, You want him to die, and you want her to die, and you're pro-murder if you do that. They are lying, disgusting smear merchants, and they always hold us to an absurd standard that they never fucking hold themselves to. And the reason why they're mad at me is because I'm one of the people to come along to say, I'm playing by the same fucking standard as you. This is the world that they wanted, guys. You think I would have posted something like this if this happened fucking 7 years ago? Not a chance. Not a chance. Because I believed a little bit more in civility and decorum and, like, you know, you get more bees with honey, all that bullshit. But now, watching Trump win, he was fucking talking about Arnold Palmer's cock on the campaign trail. He was totally fucking unhinged. And, like, he gets to fight whoever he wants, say whatever he wants against anybody. And so I realized, okay, well, if these are the rules of the game, I am willing to play by those rules. And you're also going to have to accept us playing by those rules. So if Trump can come along and he can call Democrats the enemy within and scum and terrorists and vermin and radical and lunatics and demonic and evil and all these different things, we get to say that shit to you too. If you punch us in the face, we get to punch you back in the face, right? Like, we're not playing this bullshit anymore. Like, when they go low, we go high is over. You went low, I'm going lower. That's the bottom line. And by the way, final point, that doesn't actually mean I want these people dead. I don't. I genuinely don't. I want all of these people on the right to have dignified, happy lives. And I want them to have healthcare. I want them to have free college. I want them to have a living wage. I want them to be part of a union. I don't want them to have asshole bosses who are lording over them. I swear that is what I actually believe. And that's the difference between me and them. That's the difference between us and them, is that I can say at the same time, I hate these people. I think they're disgusting pieces of shit, but I want them to have a good life. Whereas they look at us and they say, you're a disgusting piece of shit, and I actually want you to die. I think they actually want us to die. I think that's the difference.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I totally agree with you about Erica Kirk as well. It wasn't just you or people on the left that took note of this. I saw plenty of people on the right,
yes,
even people like in Candace Owens' audience, who's obviously not a leftist, that were absolutely appalled and disgusted with Erica Kirk's behavior. And the reason why it was so disgusting is because she was acting like she knew that she had literally about a month or two to juice as much attention out of the situation as possible before the news cycle moved on. She's smart enough to know how quickly the news cycle moves in this country. And she's like, if I make my big debut 3 or 4 months later after the brutal live streamed murder of my husband, no one's going to care as much. Now is the moment. And she seized on that moment, maybe a little bit too much, because now it's backfiring on her. But yeah, it was absolutely outrageous. And it basically looked like she was launching her own political career, in my opinion, in those moments following her husband's death. I almost did start to think, oh shit, are we looking at a potential, like, you know, Erica Kirk candidacy down the line? She really did seem like she came out swinging, like launching her profile in a way that was so dramatic that that's where my mind went. Do you think there's any chance that Erica Kirk could actually try to get involved in politics or like run for office in the future?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She loves the cameras. It is very, very obvious that she does. She's not done. Like I said, she took over TPUSA immediately. That's a giant organization with a tremendous amount of billionaire fundraising that they do. They put on these giant events. That's a real thing. And if you do that, you are a political player on the right. You are running with the big boys in big circles. You think she's not fucking thinking? Of course she's thinking about it. She's not done. She's incredibly ambitious. And the fact of the matter is, if we point that out, somehow we're the bad guys to point out objective facts about reality. But guess what? It's, you know, it's unacceptable to them. So I think that's a very astute point, and I think you're 100% right. And I think it's possible, if not likely, that she might run for something at some point.
Be there.